Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture lesson for today is from Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 12 through 14. The latrines must be outside the camp. You will use them there, outside the camp. Carry a shovel with the rest of your gear. Once you have relieved yourself, use it to dig a hole, then refill it, covering your excrement. Do these things because the Lord your God travels with you, right in the middle of your camp, ready to save you and to hand your enemies over to you. For this reason, your camp must be holy. The Lord must not see anything indecent among you, or he will turn away from you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The choir got me so excited, ready to preach, that I forgot all about that intro video. I was up here ready to go. Now, I want to say one thing right off the bat at the beginning of this sermon, and it is this. I did not choose today's scripture. All right? It's all Pastor Bob. Jerry. Of all the Sundays to be the liturgist, thank you for being such a good sport. And Bob, I didn't envy you trying to select an anthem based on today's reading, but you did. You did it well. We had our minds set on latrines, and you set our minds on Jesus. Thank you, choir. That'll preach. That might be another sermon one day. All right. You don't know it yet, but that anthem is perfect for this sermon. As we read scripture, any scripture, even the funny ones or the odd scriptures, we do well to keep our minds on Jesus. And believe it or not, our topic today, even the scripture today, is perfect for our confirmation class. I told you when we began this confirmation journey that the whole church is actually going to go through the confirmation process together. And lately in class, we've been talking about the Bible. As a church, we've covered many of the confirmation lessons during our formerly called Blessing for Children and now Blessing for Young Hearts. Although I believe this morning we may have missed an opportunity to discuss today's scripture during the Blessing for Young Hearts. We could have made this morning far more interesting, but we continued to learn about the Bible and why it is so important for us to read it aloud together, even the funny or the odd scriptures, or the ones that we can't quite figure out. Now, finally, when I preach during this confirmation journey, I try to incorporate a lesson from our curriculum. I'm going to do that again this morning, but don't worry. There's only going to be one pop quiz. All right? I'll warn you in advance. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I grew up hearing this phrase, or something like it, quite often. I never thought much about it because I grew up around a lot of Christian phrases, including the others that we have discussed during this sermon series. I don't even completely dislike the phrase. I don't think of it so much as a half-truth, though. If I had to give it a fraction, I would probably call it a one-third truth. One-third of it is just fine with me, the middle part that says, believe it. I'm good with that one. It's the beginning and the end of the phrase that's curious to me. The certainty of God said it and the finality of that settles it makes me pause and ask, what is the it? And why is it so important? It must be very important, or else God wouldn't have said it, and we couldn't believe it if God hadn't said it. So what is this it? The assumption here in this phrase is that it is Scripture. Specifically, Scripture that is located within the pages of the Bible. Another assumption here is that within our Scripture, we may find the certainty and finality of today's half-truth. If that assumption is right, then church, we are certainly in big trouble based on today's Scripture. Because although it can be hard to find sometimes, we have indoor plumbing. And what's worse, we all use it. It said the latrine must be outside of the camp. And did any of you bring a shovel today? No. Well, I hope not. If you did, I have some questions. My mom used to tell me stories about using an outhouse at her grandmother's house in Western North Carolina. Oh, we have other stories too. Yes. Oh, yes. Especially stories about having to go out there at night. Now, I will not repeat these stories here from the pulpit, but let's just say that I thank God every day for indoor plumbing. Every day. We don't even think about it now. But in the late 19th century, many church leaders had serious theological discussions about whether or not to install indoor bathrooms in their new churches because of this scripture. Just a little over 100 years ago, this scripture seemed to have far more theological implications than it does today. I wonder what else we are arguing about today that may seem trivial in 100 years. What scriptures might we see differently in a century? Every time and place has a unique relationship with these texts. It is a relationship. Our scripture today comes from Deuteronomy, which is part of the Torah. That's not part of the quiz. I'm just reminding the confirmation class. It is considered the second law of Moses. It has been read and interpreted, applied, or ignored in different ways by different people according to their context and circumstances. The Bible is drenched in historical and geopolitical context. The Torah contains stories of communities, actually whole civilizations, and their political and social structures that influenced how they saw the world and how they relate to Scripture. Every group of people mentioned in this book had a unique and contextual relationship with these laws, just as we do today. To say this book has always been interpreted and applied exactly the way we do it today is quite frankly both arrogant and dangerous. arrogant because it assumes we know everything there is to know about God. And dangerous because it threatens to extinguish the living part of the living word. God said it. I disagree. God is still speaking. There is no past tense with God. Who are we to stop the Spirit? And this is why reading Scripture together out loud is so important. A seminary professor once told our class, actually it was the very first class, that the Bible only becomes Scripture when we read it together. He held the Bible up and he said, "What does the Bible say?" And we all just looked at him blankly, assuming he had an answer. And he said, "The Bible doesn't say anything. It doesn't have a mouth or vocal cords. So literally, it cannot talk, at least in that literal sense." He said, "We bring it to life when we read and apply it together in community." Now that means we won't always agree, as we United Methodists know so well. And that's okay. We don't have to agree on everything as long as we don't cause each other harm. And as long as we don't close the door of communication by saying, "That settles it." After all, what are the three Wesleyan rules of life? Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. I believe it. I disagree with that too. We believe. Only when we read our sacred texts together, talk about them and wrestle with them, investigate them, and maybe even at times disagree with them. Only when we hear each other's perspectives and pray and lament and grow together, well, only then can we truly know what we believe. This is not a solo faith. We Methodists, we also employ a tool that helps us to discern our faith. It's called the quadrilateral. All right, here's the pop quiz. Confirmation class, who can tell me the four parts of the quadrilateral? Oh, it looks like we have a hand raise. Oh, that's wonderful. Yes! Okay, can we please, yes, confirmation. Yes. That's right. I have extras if you want another one. What now? I'm doing that now. All right. So, Scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. I like to think of it, actually, the way Colin put it in our confirmation class. Our quadrilateral, these different things that we use to interpret Scripture, is like a tripod with a camera. Scripture is on top as the camera, and we're looking through it, trying to get a good picture. Tradition, experience, and reason all support our Scripture in equal parts to keep us balanced. Now, how do we bring the picture into focus is the question. I really should have asked AJ about this before the sermon because I'm about to really badly describe this. But to bring a picture into focus, from what I understand, there are different settings on a camera, right? Okay, good. Thumbs up. I got that one. And we must rotate the focus ring, right? Okay, good. Is that what it's called? Oh, good, 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 because I Googled it and I wasn't sure. All right, and then after that, we might need to zoom in and out of the frame, right, until we can see clearly. And I know there's a lot more to it than that, because sometimes we even use different lenses, right, depending on the light. So many different things that we must do. We see through different lenses. That'll preach too. I'm getting a whole sermon series here, y'all. All right. The focus ring, the zoom, the lens, that's all community. Conversation, learning from one another. Together we use scripture, tradition, experience, and reason to see clearly the living world around us and capture a beautiful moment in time. We document this creation through the testimonies of our faith. And that, my friends, is what makes a book turn into scripture. And all of scripture, even the funny and the odd verses, the ones that make us think and the ones that make us giggle, all of scripture is about people trying to live together, often failing, and about God's insistence and incessant love to call us toward justice and to love one another. So if there's one thing I can say with certainty that God has said, it is love one another. That'll preach. Love one another. God said it. We believe it. That settles it. Amen.